We're looking at Lekutei Sichos Chelek Yud Aleph, the second Sichah of Beshalach, at the end in Sif Hey, where we have the Yena Shel Teirah B'Pirush Rashi. There, it first explains everything we've been saying in a Kabbalah Lashon, and then gives us a Hira in Ma'aseh B'Poel, in interhuman relationships, specifically a Hira in marriage and between husband and wife. But we begin with some Kabbalistic terminology. We explained that Miriam is Malchus. Malchus is a feminine sphira, as we'll talk about Amir Tzashem in this voice note. And Miriam, as a archetypical Jewish woman, a great Jewish woman, she is an embodiment of Malchus. Aaron, as we're going to go on to explain, represents Zoh, the six midos that are mashpia to Malchus. And we see that in as much as Aaron is called Shushpina de Matrinisa, the escort of the bride or the queen. The bride or the queen is Malchus, the feminine Sfira. The escort is Zoh. So Aaron is Zoh and Miriam is Malchus, which are masculine and feminine, mashpia and Mekabel. We'll get back to that momentarily, but let's begin like this. The Sikha has been examining a paradox, a seeming contradiction between the two pshatim that Rashi gives on one pasuk. On one hand, Rashi is saying that these words in our pasuk come to teach us the chshivas of Miriam unto herself, that Miriam was an important person, a neviya, chashava yidne. On the other hand, the other pshat is no, actually, it's just calling her Neviah to mark that we're talking about an incident that occurred while she was still only the sister of Aaron before Moshe was born, and that her chshivas is that Aaron was Moshe Nefesh for her. In other words, it's not about her greatness, it's about Aaron's greatness. So hold on, which one is it? Is it like the first pshat that Miriam herself is great, or the second pshat that no, the words are only coming to teach us that Aaron is great and that he did something great on behalf of his sister. And like so many conflicts or questions that you find in Nigla and in Pshat, the same thing is in Sait. We have the same question about Malchus. On one hand, Malchus is unique from all the other Sfirois in that she is Mushreshes Ba'atzmos. All the other spheres are sort of their own giloy. You know, chesed is its flavor, and the gvura is its flavor. And Malchus is this blank slate that allows atzmus to shine through it. And in that way, even though it's the lowest of all the spheres, it's actually the highest in its shayrish. So in that sense, Malchus has a special superiority. At the same time, hold on, no, Malchus is the lowest of all the spheres. And what does it mean, the lowest? I mean, we're not talking about up and down, like, you know, flying in a plane in the sky. We're talking about the process. She's the recipient. She's the end of the line. So all the other spheres are giving to her, and she's receiving from them, which is what it says, that Malchus les la megorma klum, she has nothing for herself. She's really totally dependent upon the hashpah she gets from the higher spheres. And in that sense, she's compared to the moon, which doesn't generate its own light and only reflects what it gets from the sun. So in that sense, Malchus is the lowest. So which one is it? Malchus is the highest of all spheres, which uniquely shines through which Atzmus is shining. Or Malchus is this lowest of all spheres, which has nothing for herself and is totally blank. And as is often the case when there's a paradox, a seeming contradiction, the answer is that there's no contradiction at all, that one part of the paradox actually explains the other part. It's precisely because Malchus is so bottle and has nothing for herself that she is so transparent and allows the essence of Elokus to shine through her in a way that the other spheres can't, because they have, you know, their own personalities, so to speak. So it's no contradiction at all. In fact, one actually helps us to understand the other. And that's the Kabbalistic parallel to what we were learning all along in the Sicha about the two ways of looking at Miriam. Great unto herself, or only great by association. Now, just to explain this a little bit more, what does it mean that the paradox is that Malchus is great unto herself because she's great by association? That is really, in essence, the Meshbiyah-Mekabel relationship. See, on one hand, the Mekabel is dependent upon the Meshbiyah. She cannot initiate the Hashpah, so she's waiting to get from him. On the other hand, whatever he gives to her, she ends up upgrading incomparably. This is the concept that Chassidus brings off in a pasuk from Shlomo Melech, HaKol Min HaOfer, everything is from the dirt. From the dirt here means kipshutai, dirt, you know, everything lives from nutrition that's grown from the ground, right? But also, Ofer represents the basement, the lowest of all the spheres. It represents Malchus. That because Malchus is the lowest and has that koyecho atzmus, what does that mean? Those are Kabbalistic terms. In practical terms, you know what that means? The power of atzmus means the power of creation. Where do you see the power of creation? Not in Mashpia, but in Mekabel. It's a little bit counterintuitive, because you think the Mashpiah, he's the one with the energy, he's the one who's doing something. Mekabel, she's just receiving, she's passive. And yet, the power to create comes from Malchus, comes from femininity, comes from the recipient every time. Like, so you put the seed in the dirt, and the dirt, who's the recipient of the seed, the dirt is the one that grows the food, okay? Or push it biological reproduction, that the man gives a tipa srucha, and the woman takes that in 9 months, upgrades it incomparably to a baby with Ramach Evrin Vishasa Gidden and a neshama and a personality and a name and a smile and everything. So every time you have a true Mekabel, she has this Koyech HaAtzmus to create something. And creation means something that's incomparable, Yesh Ma'ayin. Not just that it's an improvement, you know, be'erich to the original raw materials. No, it's shalei be'erich. It's like a whole new thing. And this, the Rebbe says, is really a tip for marriage. That, I just, in parentheses, let me explain. I know we're learning from the relationship between Aaron and Miriam, who are brother and sister, and represent Zoh and Malchus. But in the Hira is about husband and wife. But first of all, you should know there's a Maimer in Derech Mitzvaysecha where it talks about the Arayas, the Kravim, that in Atzilus, Zoh and Malchus are brother and sister who are married, who are husband and wife. And that's Takya, why blood relatives are forbidden to us, because it's something that's only able to be done in Atzilus, where there's no Ra, where there's no Mitzias of Ra. Because it's so high, it's so holy, we can't handle it, so that's why we don't do it. But in you know, the Inyan Geret, and in a totally spiritual world, then it's actually a very high thing. So here, Miriam and Aaron, who are sister and brother, for us the Hira is wife and husband. What's the vart? That when a wife receives from her husband with true bittel, meaning she lets him set the tone, and she lets him be the leader, lets him be the mashpia, lets him be the one who brings the energy into the relationship, and she follows his lead. What ends up happening is she'll take whatever it is that he's bringing into the relationship and upgrade it incomparably. She'll improve it in ways that he could never have done on his own. And this is the lesson. And we could apply this to any mashpia mekabel relationship. Truth is, even you see it in teacher and student. The metamida yisimekula means that in the end, a real student ends up revealing things that the teacher himself didn't even realize he was teaching. That's a real mekabel.